Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You're about to listen to the Dr. Dahlia Show. Sassy, stimulating medical talk radio. Any medical advice Dr. Dahlia Wax gives on her show should not be substituted for an actual visit to your medical provider. And now, here's Dr. Dahlia.
Doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case loving you.
All right, guys, we are back on the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOCADALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. So growing up, I remember hearing the term the American dream. And I thought the American dream was somebody who was an immigrant that was able to make it to the United States, be able to get a job, and then be able to finally have a home or a house, have a marriage, have kids, a dog, a car, maybe two cars, and that would be the American dream. And growing up in a family where the grandparents escaped the Holocaust, my father was an immigrant, comes to America, meets my mom, I thought we were living the American dream. It wasn't necessarily rich. It wasn't having money. It was we are able to support ourselves without persecution, without fear of being killed, being able to practice our religion, and, you know, having a home where we felt safe in and food on our table. So that was my definition of the American dream. The American dream started to change because we would have like these posters, you know, dream, and you saw like the Lamborghinis were they Lamborghinis? I don't really remember. Ferraris in the garage, and you would see these mansions and you would go, okay, so the American dream is you making a crap load of money, becoming a millionaire or a billionaire, or becoming Tom Brady. And that's fine. If that was your definition of the American dream, great. But the American dream went from coming through on Ellis Island or coming into the country and being able to, you know, work your way up from poor to middle class. It went from that to you being rich. You creating a business, you know, moving up in that business, owning property, and becoming rich. Well, the American dream definition, I think, is changing. Now, I raised my kids differently. I never told them you need to be rich. I never told them they needed to get an education for that. I wanted them to be financially stable. I wanted them to always have two sources of income or something to hedge in case they got fired or in case something happened with the economy, there was another source of income coming. Now, this was, of course, before the government said, look, we'll pay you unemployment and all that other stuff. But prior to all that, you lost your job, you could be in a heap of trouble. And I saw my parents go through tons of financial trouble. So I taught them to make sure they get an education and pick a career such that they could have multiple revenue streams or they could jump from one job to the next if something hits the fan. And I was talking to my son the other day, and he brought up the concept of American dream. And he goes, you know, Mom, I don't think American dream means being rich. I think American dream means having passive income and being able to, if you want to take a trip, you take a trip. You want to be able to eat and go out to dinner one day, you can. If you want to be able to propose to somebody, you can. And, you know, there's tons of examples. But he said, I think the American dream is having passive income, where you can be working your job, but there's other revenue streams coming in. And I agree with him. And it looks like I raised him right. I agree. I think that might be the American dream. And the Gen Zs and the millennials are pretty smart. There's an article talking about how the millennials don't invest like the Gen Xs and baby boomers do. The baby boomers and Gen Xs are all about the stock market and all that. 75% of millennials are not really that heavily invested in the stock market. Now, I do believe that overall and over time, mutual funds do well. I believe, you know, I don't like the day trading and the volatility, but in terms of long term, I think some of them do well. But I have one. I have a retirement account from when I was in residency. It's a small one. It hardly did anything. Now, of course, I didn't, you know, meet with the financial advisor, whoever advised us, I don't think knew what they were doing. But millennials aren't as overwhelmed by what a lot of the baby boomers and Gen Xers did. In fact, they say 75% of wealthy millennials do not think the stock market can generate the returns they're looking for. Only 32% of older investors feel the same. What are the younger investors doing? They're going to cryptocurrency, which I'm still nervous about, private equity, real estate, even art. They're buying art. This was a study by Bank of America, the study of wealthy Americans. It was released yesterday and included interviews with 1,000 Americans age 21 and older with investable assets of over $3 million. Now, these are rich people, okay? The interviews were conducted in May and June, and they found that 75% were not really feeling the stock market. And they use other things, private equity, commodities, real estate, art. Now, I know some people did the GameStop. Some people, you know, invested in Bavarian Nordic, the monkeypox vaccine. Some people might be playing a little bit with it, but that's not what they're investing in. It's real estate, it's crypto, and, you know, and I'm not saying we necessarily follow that. I told you guys, don't underestimate the intelligence or the economic acumen of some of these younger generations, because they have a much different world than we do. So, you know, when we keep hearing about the American dream and politics and the American dream, I have always kind of told you guys that, look, it's not about you finding a job that pays you a lot, because you could be then the first one on the chopping block when the recession goes into full swing. We're in a recession, but I don't know when the job losses are going to, you know, sadly start. And those who make the most are usually the ones that get kicked off first, because these companies want to save money. But if you are able to come up, don't always have just one job. That's why I've always worked multiple part-time jobs. I always, just in case I lost one, I needed to know I could pay the rent with something else. I've always worked multiple jobs. But always think about what happens if there is a disaster or a job loss. And what other ways can you make sure that you are handling your other bills or handling your other expenses? And passive income, whether it be a book sale, whether it be selling things on eBay or Facebook Marketplace or whatever, there are other ways you can make money that might not hurt to look into, so you kind of hedge your bets. 1-877-DOLLAR. Fantasy football season is coming, but sadly, too many of you are taking the bench while the country takes part in one of the most exciting and lucrative industries out there. Don't know how to play, huh? Well, huddle up and listen. Sports analyst Paul Kalikas and I have written a fantasy football pocket guide for beginners. This book walks you through the basics and shows you how simple and lucrative joining and creating a fantasy football team can be. Read our Fantasy Football Pocket Guide for Beginners found on Amazon, or follow the links on Twitter and Facebook. That's Fantasy Football Pocket Guide for Beginners. It's time you get into the action. Hey guys, gals, Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have just become single and it's been years since you've dated? Well, you need to be careful out there, as there's a lot of pitfalls and scams. But there's also true love. So I recommend reading our Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. We'll give you the scoop on scammers, STDs, and what makes the best first date. Go to my website at drdahlia.com and click on the Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. That's drdahlia.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Stock market have you nervous with massive fluctuations? With the impact of inflation and the upcoming midterm elections, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. But with Vantage Point, you won't have to guess. Text MONEY to 813-813 to find out how you can forecast market trend changes with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. That's right, 87.4%. Text the word MONEY to 813-813 and find the consistency and confidence you've been looking for in your trading. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. No more guessing when to get in or out of a trade. Text MONEY to 813-813. We'll send you a link to our free live training. Protect your hard-earned capital with Vantage Point.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting the word DEMO, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and text using automated technology or pre-recorded voice about offers or info by or on behalf of Vantage Point. Your consent is not a condition of purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text MONEY to 813-813.
All right, guys, we are back on the Dr. Dolly Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY, 1-877-DOCDALI. Big thanks to Genesis Communications Network for making the show happen. Big thanks to Daniel, our producer, and big thanks to you all for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dahlia and on Facebook, the Dr. Dahlia Show. So it's homecoming. And with homecoming, it's one of these traditions that I think started back in the 1900s, early 1900s. There's a couple different schools that take credit for the history of homecoming and had to do with a losing streak and thinking that they could, like, for example, one was, one said 1914, another said 1900. Apparently, they said the earliest beginnings of homecoming date back to college alumni football games held in the early 1900s to bring everyone back home and boost school spirit. It is debated who hosted the first official homecoming game. Apparently, University of Illinois football team was on a losing streak for several years against the rival the Chicago Maroons. It was believed that if they could bring everyone back and rally behind the team, they could change their luck and pull off a win. They were successful, beat the Maroons 3-0 in front of 12,000 attendees. This was among some of the first homecoming events to be recorded, and then the traditions of homecoming were quickly adopted. They later would have a king and queen, along with a court. This court of homecoming courtship would be highlighted on floats and parades. There would be a homecoming parade. And so these were things that would be, you know, things for school spirits. They would probably be, you know, money makers. There was a homecoming dance. We're being told that the first annual homecoming dance was back in 1914. Students dressed in their best clothing used the dance as an opportunity to meet somebody. And then the homecoming dance, this is something that in Minnesota, they actually stopped in the University of Minnesota in 2000. Not a lot of people were going to the homecoming dance. For us, when I went to school, homecoming was about the game. So we didn't really have a dance when I went to school. You would just go to the game and, yeah. So it's interesting. In the University of Missouri, they said that their first homecoming was, I think, back in 1911. But they say the invention of homecoming might have dated back to 1875 with the annual Harvard-Yale football game. It attracts alumni to come enjoy the nostalgia of college. And then University of Michigan's Alumni Association held an alumni game in 1897 in which actual football alumni would play current players on the field. And then there would be other sorts of, you know, so this is something that grew early on in the turn of last century. And then homecoming king and queen would be for, like, the seniors. This kind of kicked in the 1930s where they were like, well, let's add a king and queen. And they would be judged by looks. They would be beautiful, popular. They used to be originally selected by teachers and coaches. And then, I guess, homecoming celebrations were halted, according to Northstar.com, between World War II. Dresses became shorter due to a rationing to save money on fabric. Also, monotone colors, things like that. But then after the war, homecoming came back. And it became even bigger and, yeah, more robust. Well, now homecoming is going to go through another change. And the next biggest change homecoming is going to have is the reevaluation of a king and queen. And we're being told that Georgia University is looking to drop homecoming king and queen to make it genderless. They want royalty to be, I guess, gender blind, where you could have two men, two women, doesn't matter, or those who I don't identify as men or women. So the current system for the homecoming court begins with nominations from student organizations. Co-ed organizations can nominate one candidate of each gender. Single-sex organizations can nominate one candidate. University faculty and staff will narrow down the list to four men and four women. They're voted by the student body, and then the winners are chosen as king and queen. But the proposed replacement system is going to compile a list of 8 students, regardless of gender, and they would just be called homecoming royalty. So, you know, you all know, my son won prom king. He was prom king. Not because he was the most gorgeous or the most athletic, but because how they did prom king was it was vote. You had to be voted by the student body, but they allowed there to be scenes and skits. So if you were funny and entertaining, you could get voted. And so I think he did like a King Kong thing with his friends, and he ended up winning. And he's prom king. I think he's the most gorgeous thing, but you know, he was no football quarterback, and he won prom king. And I thought that was really, really cool that it wasn't just all about the, you know, captain of the football team. You know, or the captain of the cheer squad. And there was the court, and then he danced with the queen and things like that. And everybody was really nice, and they clapped at the other winners and all that. And it was, it was really, really cool to have, you know, in my family, we're kind of a family of not very king and queen royalty type popular individuals. So to have a prom king in the family was really, really cool. But they did change it, and I like the fact that they changed it to not just being about looks and athleticism, even though my kid's very athletic. I like that there was a little bit more to it. But how does that work then? You know, I made the royalty court. I made the, it is a CV booster. It's huge. I think it adds that you obviously were, you know, recognized by faculty as somebody worthy to be on the homecoming court, et cetera. But they're not going to do with this whole king queen sort of thing. And it, you also wonder if our moving away from gender, how does that affect like the monarchy? You have Queen Elizabeth, may she rest in peace, and you have King Charles III. Are we not going to have king or queen anymore? Are chess sets going to change? We're not going to have a king or queen? It's interesting to see where this is going to go. So a gender-neutral homecoming court, on one end, allows individuals who don't necessarily gender-identify to be a part of it. On the other end, though, is this the first of a move that is going to completely annihilate the terms king and queen in our vocabulary? The university circulated a survey to students and asked them if they were in favor of the changes and whether or not they thought such changes would lead to more nominations for the position. The campus newspaper quoted several students who expressed support of the effort, saying the titles king and queen were old tradition and they have never been inclusive. They said it might place students in an uncomfortable position if they are nominated for the homecoming court, but do not feel comfortable using either of these labels. So, it'll be interesting to see where this goes, because I have many friends, family, who are part of the LGBTQ community. And I think a lot of them are mixed, where you could be a king, and you could be male, and you could be homosexual. Why can't a king be homosexual? But with this, no, we're just not going to, no. If we're to be inclusive of you, we won't have the term king. Well, that could insult somebody who's homosexual. They could be like, why can't I still be king? So you're saying because I'm gay, I can't be king? If you do away with king and queen, are you saying that if somebody is not cis, or they don't, let's say, ascribe to some of those traditional roles, then they aren't worthy of the title? They can't, you know. I thought what we're trying to do is we're trying to be blind to, you know, a person's gender, a person's looks, a person's creed, and they could do whatever they want. They could be CEO. They could be king. They could be queen. They could be, I mean, these drag queens, they make a lot of money being drag queens. They want to be queens. Are you going to take that away from them? Getting rid of the term queen? So it's interesting where this is going, and if they're going to, you know, possibly put themselves up against, you know, in a corner where they're trying to be progressive, but then they're actually being discriminatory. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. As far as I'm concerned, it's homecoming. It's about the football game. I don't really think there has to be royalty. I don't think there has to be a king or queen or royal figures. It's about the game. I don't understand why we have to, you know, have, nobody really wants to, you know, bow or adorn individuals like that. But we'll see where it goes. 1-877-DOC-SELLY.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief watching the world lose its mind. As we all know, global problems have local consequences. Too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits are in stock and ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats standing in government food lines. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
National Security Communicator John Kirby said there will be consequences for Saudi Arabia as the kingdom moves to cut oil production by 2 million barrels a day, catching the Biden administration unprepared. But it remains to be seen how far Biden is willing to go in showing his displeasure with the Saudis. Mr. Kirby on Tuesday.
President believes that we should review the bilateral relationship with Saudi Arabia.
FBI Supervisory Counterintelligence Analyst Brian Otten was the first witness in the trial of Igor Deshenko, the Russian national who served as the primary subsource for Steele's anti-Trump dossier back in 2016. Court documents show the FBI offered Steele $1 million if he could corroborate allegations in the dossier. Otten testified that Steele could not do so. The National Hockey League kicked off its season last night. Lance Pry, USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
We're back on the Dr. Dolly Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY, 1-877-DOCDALI. So a woman claims that her Apple Watch alerted her that she was pregnant before she even had clinical tests to prove she was pregnant. Okay, these Apple Watches are acting like your doctor on a wrist. And I think the concept is cool, but this is interesting with what happened to her. Now, there is no pregnancy test on your Apple Watch. Please do not pee on your Apple Watch. That is not going to work in terms of telling you if you're pregnant. But what ended up happening is a 34-year-old posted on Reddit that she had a higher than usual resting heart rate. And that is what tipped her off. She said, usually my resting heart rate is 57. And my heart rate increased to 72. She says, not a big jump, but it showed up on an alert and that it's been higher for 15 days. Her initial suspicion was that she had COVID-19, but she had no other symptoms. So the woman was a new mom to an 18-month-old, and she said she hadn't had a period yet, and pregnancy did not cross her mind until having unusual heart rate readings. This is very cool. She said, I read sometimes this happens with early pregnancy. She's right, your heart rate could go up. And sure enough, instantly the test was positive. She said, the watch knew I was pregnant before I did. I would have never tested without wearing my watch because I haven't had a period to be late on one. She said, once she went to the doctor and took a test, the woman found out she was already 4 weeks pregnant. She said, while this might not be what the Apple Watch was supposed to be used for, it does pose the question of how, you know, you have something on your wrist that has pretty sensitive information. Some people are a little concerned about, you know, what tech companies have access to and how much privacy you have. Other individuals might look at this as, well, wait a second. You know, if there's a lot of laws on, you know, when you could get an abortion, the sooner you find out you're pregnant, the better, and can this be used for that? My issue is it's not the most predictive if you're pregnant or not heart rate. You know, heart rate going up is possibly one of the signs. It just isn't necessarily something that we always use because caffeine could make it go up. You could check your 401k balance. You could, you know, get an email from your boss. The mother-in-law could say, are you coming over this weekend? And that's enough to start messing with your heart rate. So there's a lot of other things that, you know, sadly can play with your heart rate. But it is going to be very interesting about, where we go in terms of having tech in your home that can help alert you to having an issue. I'm mixed on these check your EKG at home, and it's not really a full EKG, where you stick your fingers on something and it reads your pulse and it reads some electrical activity. That's nice, but that's not exactly an electroencephalogram or an electrocardiogram. Electrocardiogram. And so, what we use in the medical office is a lot more sensitive. And so when I talk to patients and they'll call in about having some chest pain, and I'm like, okay, I think you need your heart checked. They go, oh, I already checked my heart. I go, oh, you already saw a cardiologist? You had a stress test? No. My Apple Watch says my heart is fine. No, not entirely. Your Apple Watch is not an EKG. So, it's not listening for murmurs. It's not checking your valves. It's not checking your ejection fraction and how well your heart is pumping. So I think tech is cool, but the big problem I'm noticing is we're having too much reliance on, I don't need a doctor anymore. I have a machine that's going to tell me I'm fine. Well, can you trust that machine? How do you know it's, you know, is it on the fritz? Is it working correctly? Is it picking up the nuances? I can't tell you how many times I had an EKG in the ER that basically read at normal, and I'm like, it's not normal. The person's having a cardiac issue. I can't always trust something that says normal. In fact, we teach medical students that. Don't just read a computer's interpretation of your heart. You need to, use your own clinical reasoning. Now, with the U.S. Supreme Court decision to overturn Roe v. Wade, and how I look at it is the Supreme Court saying the feds are out. We don't mandate it. We don't prohibit it. It's up to you in the states. People, they say, are in the U.S., according to MSM, are worried that the data on tech apps about menstrual cycles, ovulation, missed periods, could be used to target people seeking an abortion. Now, I'd have to look a little deeper into that. You know, I would tell people, mind your own business, you know, if I missed my period and all that. But, tech is going to be good, but tech is also going to be bad. And I think we're going to, as with everything, every time we make progress, there's going to be some phenomenal that comes out of it, but then there's also going to be issues that can sadly, put people at risk. Now, speaking of births, they say there are routine births that are turning into money-making emergency events at hospitals, which allow hospitals to charge you more. And I guess somebody going into labor, if it's considered an accident or a emergency, there could be an additional charge. So Elizabeth Huffner had a full-term pregnancy. She said, when your due date is come and gone, you're expecting a baby any minute. So she was surprised to see on her bill a, quote, unknown accident when she went to the hospital during labor. The bill included a charge for something she said she didn't know she'd ever entered. It was the obstetrics emergency department. She said that's where the doctor checked her cervix. They timed her contractions, monitored the heartbeat, and then they told her to go home and come back later. The area separated from the rest of the labor and delivery department by a curtain. The hospital got $1,300 for that visit. She had to pay $530. They said in recent years, hospitals have opened obstetrics emergency departments, or OBEDs. They come with the requirement that patients with pregnancy or postpartum medical concerns be seen quickly by a qualified provider. It also means that rather than you going up through L&D or going through the ER, you are going to a separate department. Now, again, I see pros and cons with this. As an ER doc, it's very, very difficult to manage a pregnancy and manage labor when you have everything else going on. And so you transfer them to OB. And we would tell people, look, okay, if you are having a, you know, I mean, again, you know, if an ambulance rolls you in, an ambulance rolls you in. But if it's an obstetrical issue and we have to do an emergency C-section on you, I worked at UMC. It was the 7th floor at the time. We had you up in the 7th floor. We would immediately bring you up there because that's where we could do emergency surgery. That's where the obstetricians were. That's where the staff was trained. So we do separate OB from the ER as often as we can. But if we have to deliver a baby in the ER, we deliver a baby in the ER. It happens. But now they're making actual obstetrical ERs. And when I trained, there was a room where somebody coming in an emergency would come in and we would be delivering babies in the hall. We would be delivering babies in triage areas. So I kind of like the idea that there is a separate area just for, so you don't have to wait, because a pregnant woman can't wait. You can't just have her sit. You want to get her in right away. The only thing is with that, there's going to be a cost. You need to staff an OB that has nothing better to do but to be there for you coming in. You need to staff people to monitor and see if you're going into preterm labor. So with things like that, it does cost money. Now, they're saying that hospitals are making extra money because these are staffed by private equity firms. So private equity is, they say, is, you know, increasing patient satisfaction but increasing cost. So I don't know. I'm iffy because I really want there to be designated doctors for people who come into labor. 1-877-DOC-TELLY.
What is the difference between collagen protein and a whey protein? Pure collagen is an incomplete protein that supplies amino acids which support connective tissue repair. However, what determines most of the connective tissue synthesis in the body is the level of growth hormone. Children have wrinkle-free, plump skin and agile joints not because they're eating collagen every day, but because they have high levels of growth hormone. Low growth hormone levels results in wrinkles and diminished connective tissue health. Consuming collagen does not overcome this. Cold sterilized whey protein powder from grass-pastured cows is a complete protein and supports connective tissue health as well as glutathione production, immunity, detoxification, combats inflammation, supports muscle size and strength, energy, fat loss, and more. Connective tissue health is dependent upon proper nutrient levels, how clean the cellular environment is, and optimal levels of growth hormone. To learn more about a true fountain of youth protein powder called Green Meadow Whey and how to support youthful levels of growth hormone, go to bestwheyprotein.net or call 888-988-3325.
Hey guys, gals, Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have just become single and it's been years since you've dated? Well, you need to be careful out there as there's a lot of pitfalls and scams. But there's also true love. So I recommend reading our Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. We'll give you the scoop on scammers, STDs, and what makes the best first date. Go to my website at drdahlia.com and click on the Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. That's drdaliah.com. Hey guys, Dr. Dahlia here. We love our drivers out there, and many of you are in need of renewing your CDL. Well, if you're in Southern Nevada, we've got the place for you. Your DOT physical can be done by calling 702-562-8800 and mention this ad. You'll get a discount. Easy, convenient hours to get you back on the road. So for your CDL DOT physical, call 702-562-8800 and drive safely.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422. Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
All right, guys, we are back on the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOCDAHLIA, 1-877-DOCDALI. Alyssa wants to know, will COVID vaccines and COVID boosters be a part of the mandatory childhood vaccination schedule? So this has been something that has not moved forward, and I'm kind of hoping it doesn't. I think that is going to be a big mess if that happens. You have a lot of parents that are okay with all the vaccines that we have for kids. We have a very robust, a very successful vaccination program, but it is a lot. And the COVID vaccine might be the straw that broke the camel's back. And I worry, which is why I don't support COVID-19 vaccine being mandated, ever. I worry that it's going to be what causes our current vaccination protocol to unravel.
So I am hoping it doesn't. It so could, though. D.C., Washington, D.C., I think has a no-shot, no-school policy. I don't know how it's going. I mean, they've had basically students needing to be compliant with the city's routine childhood vaccination for a while. There's a vaccine mandate. I don't know how that's going in terms of this. They say originally the deadline for students to be caught up on both routine childhood vaccines for like MMR, tetanus, meningitis, and the COVID-19 was 20 days after the first day of school. In late August, Deputy Mayor of Education Paul Kinn shifted those deadlines because the city struggled to bring up the low vaccination rates. The purpose of moving the deadline, according to CDCISD.com, was leaders said at the time to give parents more time to vaccinate their children and local education agencies more time to prepare. The deadline for students in pre-K through fifth grade to be caught up on all routine vaccinations was delayed or was pushed from September 7th to October 11th, which was yesterday. For 6th grade to 12th grade, they had to be up to date by November 4th. Enforcement of the COVID mandate was postponed to January 2023. So the city spent a lot of time trying to push families to get their students vaccinated. 23,000 students across the district were listed as quote-unquote non-compliant. Schools made final reach-outs in October. There were grace periods for those who didn't meet the deadline, as long as they agreed to make an appointment soon. But according to the D.C. Public Schools Chief of School Improvement, so far 3,300 students are at risk of being kicked out. They received five-day warnings last week. By Tuesday morning, 1,100 elementary school families were not in compliance. Roughly half of those families agreed to make an appointment in the coming weeks. The other half said their students' documentation was pending. 24 families refused to comply when the school caused. And, you know, a lot of students lacked proof of vaccination. So people are kind of confused that what the number of 24 represents. According to Ward 4 council member, they said we've had over 13,000 kids not in compliance as of September 27th. So you're saying that 13,000 families got into compliance in the last week and a half. So they think they're having a number problem and a cataloging issue. But I got to tell you, man, this is a huge concern. Because the majority of individuals who are not vaccinated are not kids who are wearing MAGA hats like the media want us to believe. These are kids who are of any sort of political background, and many of them black. They say 92% of white children in the city were vaccinated, but 60% of black children. And being licensed in Mississippi and Alabama, there's a lot of vaccine hesitancy among black communities because they don't feel the testing of the vaccines adequately represented their population. I get it. I understand that. Even though black individuals can be at higher risk for COVID and we want them protected, there's been a lot and they have every right to be suspicious and not very comfortable with, you know, feeling that their rights and their health were, strongly considered in terms of all these testing and mandates. And so the problem D.C. schools are going to run into is they're going to be expelling black children from school. And this was exactly what I was saying when we were kicking people out of restaurants. You might have had white individuals who, if they did have a side effect, could go right to the doctor and did have access, and they're all eating in the restaurant, and you have black individuals being kicked out of the restaurant if they didn't want to vaccinate. Okay, that's not a good optic. That's discrimination. So I think some of these schools are noticing that, and, you know, in Las Vegas, when our Department of Health held a meeting, and somebody asked, they go, can you please explain to everybody who the highest group of non-vaccinators are? You know, and they were expecting them to say, well, they are Republicans who voted for Trump. And the gentleman said, it's the teenage population and those in the black communities. That this isn't a Republican-Democrat thing. which means now you're going to be discriminating and you are going to be denying educational access to individuals who might comprise or might be, you know, the majority of a race. That doesn't look good. That's why I don't like mandates. It's a bad move. Now, we do have COVID boosters being recommended. The COVID Omicron booster shots have been recommended now for kids as young as 5 years old. The CDC recommended these boosters. They believe that these are the new ones, the updated ones. The FDA authorized the shots. Even though it didn't go through the same data scrutiny that the first set of shots did. It was very similar to what we did with the flu shot, where we based it on previous data. It's an updated shot. I got it. I got it so I could kind of walk you guys through if I had any issues. I talked to you about the initial side effects, the breast swelling, the underarm swelling, the chest pain. But so far so good. I feel good. Gonna get my mammogram in a couple weeks. I'm so far so good. But I know a lot of parents are hesitant, and that's something that they shouldn't be vilified for that. Let them talk to their medical provider and come up with a decision that they think is right for their child. And you know, parents, the doctor, the child, you know, do have a right to have a discussion on this. Nothing should be mandated. So because it was swiftly authorized, a lot of people don't trust it, don't trust the shots. I'm comfortable. I was comfortable enough to get the shot for me. If I didn't think it was safe, I wouldn't have gotten the updated booster. What I didn't like was getting the outdated booster. Getting the outdated booster, I thought was ridiculous, and we were doing it every few months. I didn't like that idea at all. So children age 5 to 11 are eligible now for the Pfizer's Omicron shots, which are the updated shots. Kids age 6 to 17 can get the Moderna shots 2 months after receiving their primary series or booster with the first generation vaccines. So pharmacies can start administering the shots when they have the doses, and Pfizer said it's going to ship up to 6 million booster doses for kids within the week. So as far as I'm concerned, I'm not telling you to do one thing or not for your kids. I am, you know, very open about how I don't like COVID. I don't like what COVID is doing to kids. I do think COVID can cause some pretty serious long-term sequelae in kids. But I do understand that these vaccines can have side effects. And I just don't want to be the one to tell you to inject something into your kid and then the kid gets a reaction. I also don't want to be the one to say don't vaccinate and then your kid gets a long-term side effect from COVID. So that's why it's not up to me. It's about you and your doctor. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But I am hoping they don't use flu or COVID as part of the mandated routine vaccines. I think we're going to have a lot of people say to hell with all these vaccines, and I'm really nervous about that. 1-877-DOCTOR-ALLY, don't go away.
Americans have the most colorful language in the world, and that vibrant language is our basis for thinking in big ways, new ways, efficient ways, and better ways. Americans have freedom of speech. The pairing of our colorful language and freedom of speech has made us the people and the nation that we are today. Imagine what it would be like not having the freedom to speak our minds, communicate our thoughts and ideas, and hear those from others. Americans have a passion for and yearn for the truth. There are those who want to destroy our freedom and right to hear the truth. The truth is under attack. GCN is under attack. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to free speech. Would you like to join us? Please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. Please help us bring you the truth 24 hours per day. I'm Vincent Finelli.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. and I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.